Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world and out there, our listeners. Francisco, hola, how are you doing today?
Hola, Jorge. Welcome, everybody, to this new episode of Spanish Loops. And today we're going to have another city special, one of those that we love so much. And today we're going to the south, Jorge, to your land. We're going to Andalucía.
Oh, my land, yes.
And we're going to be visiting today, through your eyes, probably one of my favorite cities in Andalucía, Córdoba, the beautiful city of Córdoba.
Yeah, so much history behind. True, that's right.
So, Jorge, why don't you locate us in the Spanish map? Where is this?
Okay, if you visualize the Iberian Peninsula, you know, Portugal is on the left-hand side facing the Atlantic, and the rest of the Iberian Peninsula is Spain, and Córdoba is in the south of Spain. The south of Spain, the region of Andalusia, is more or less the size of the state of Maine in the United States, and Córdoba is almost in the northern central part of the south of Spain. And, well, what can I say about Córdoba? So many things.
Well, there are a lot of things to be said, but let's start with history. We know you have a problem.
Francisco, I have many problems.
Well, listeners, Jorge has one problem, because when we decided to do this city special, we said, okay, let's do a very short introduction to the history of each one of the cities that we're going to be talking about. Let's try to do a minute and a half. If you've been following us, you know that Jorge and the minute and a half, it doesn't work. So Jorge, please, in a minute and a half plus a little bit, take us to Córdoba.
Thank you for your emotional support, Francisco. Well, what can I say about Córdoba? As I said earlier, the history dates back to the Roman times, but it was during the Islamic period that Córdoba became one of the most important cities in Europe. A little side note about this Islamic period, let us remind you that there is a series of four chapters of the Muslim Empire while in the Iberian Peninsula, and Córdoba played a very, very important role. So go back in our timeline on Spotify or your favorite platform to find out a little bit more about that. But today we're focusing just in the city of Córdoba. What are the origins? Okay, as a city, it was founded in the year 152 BC by the Romans, and they named the city Córdoba, C-O-R-D-U-B-A, which means stronghold of Cordus, that it was a very important Roman general. The place became very, very fast as an important center of trade and commerce due to the strategic location and to the river Guadalquivir, which in Arabic means the big river. It was called the Betis River in the Roman times, but it was the major route for shipping goods between the interior of Spain and the coast. Then we had to jump a little bit when the Roman Empire fell, you know, that the Visigoths just came to Spain and it went to the Islamic rule. It was in the year 711, as we have mentioned many, many times, that the Emperor Tariq, or the warrior, I better say, Tariq, invaded the Iberian Peninsula within a few years. And they established a caliphate in Córdoba. And it was under the Islamic rule. The city became one of the most important and prosperous and cultured cities in the entire world at the time. The city grew very, very fast in its population. And this is a little bit of controversial number. Some people say that exceeded 1 million people, but for sure there are records that it was more than 500,000 people, making it the largest city in Europe at the time.
How many people did you say lived in Córdoba?
Well, some people say it was over 1 million. Some people say that there is over 500,000. Anyway, it was.
I can care less. That's a megalopolis. I mean, that's a huge, huge city.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for that time, yeah, it was, as I said, the largest city in Europe at the time. Yeah.
I mean, being the center of this world, I mean, everything happened in Córdoba.
Well, I have to tell you, during that period was known for the advanced architecture, arts and science. You know, the great mosque of Córdoba that was started to be built in the 8th century, it was considered one of the most important examples of Islamic architecture in the world. Actually, it became the most important mosque in the Islamic world the second most important after the one in Damascus. So imagine. Also became home to many scholars and intellectuals who made significant contributions to mathematics, astronomy, and medicine.
Jorge, having this Muslim empire here in Spain, Iberia, let's not say only Spain, it's Spain and Portugal, for over almost 800 years, was Cordova the capital of this empire for during the 800 years?
Well, we have to mention a couple of things. Sometime in the 1100s, Portugal became independent, and they got rid of the Muslims earlier than we did in the last stages. But obviously, if it was almost 800 years of Islamic dominations, not everything happened from one day to another. It was periods, right? There were periods of peace that the cultures, they were living together and cooperating, but there were periods that there were wars trying to gain territory, the Christians, right, to the Moors. But it was in the 13th century when the Christian kingdoms of what was Spain in those days, they began the territory or began to reconquer the territory from the Moors. And Cordoba precisely fell to the Christians in the year 1236. And the great mosque was converted into a Catholic cathedral. The city became the capital of the Kingdom of Castile. But later on, its importance declined.
On the 13th century, it's when it changes from the capital of the Muslim kingdom into the capital of the Kingdom of Castile, Catholic or Christian at that time. How was the transition? How was the, I don't know, that time has to be kind of strange, I guess.
Well, one of the things that the Christian monarchs at the time had, or they used as a strategy, was every time that they were conquering a very important site or something that was really important for the previous culture, that was demolish the temple. It happened in all the cultures, right? It was the big mosque. It was converted, as I said, into a Catholic cathedral. So that was a very stronghold for the Christians at the time. Obviously, it was named the new capital. Yeah, that was, in a way, to let the enemy know that they were already there. But as I said, the importance declined, and it happened that deferred a little bit to the city of Sevilla. Because don't forget that Sevilla, as we have mentioned in other podcasts, it has a port that was linking the inland of Andalusia to the Atlantic Ocean, right? So Sevilla became the port of the Americas later, but it was in the year 1492, like we all know, that the Catholic monarchs at the time, they conquered the last bastion that was Granada. But in those days, Cordoba was already Christian.
Wow, what interesting history.
Many
cultures crossing it. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then we have to jump a little bit to the modern times. You know, during the 19th and early 20th century, Cordoba underwent through significant changes. The city's population grew, new neighborhoods were built outside of the old city walls, and Cordoba became an important center of industry with things related to textiles, olive oil, and wine.
Olive oil, wine. I mean, this sounds to me very Roman, but all the way there, having olive oil, isn't it a little bit more closer to Jaén?
Okay, one of my fun facts.
Okay, there we go. Jorge and his fun facts.
It is said that if the land that you're growing olive trees or vineyards, that soil can grow both together. So that's why there's no problem at all when you have olive trees together with vineyards. That is the reason. And getting back to the 20th century, Cordoba became an important tourist destination. The city's historic center was declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1984. And today, Cordoba is known by its beautiful architecture, including the Great Mosque Cathedral, the Alcazar of the Christian Monarchs, and the Roman Bridge.
Wow, Jorge, that was a great 1.5 minutes plus. But thank you so much for sharing all the history.
I love that plus plus.
Well, it was not just a plus, it was a plus plus. Anyway, so now we know where is Cordoba, a little bit of the history of Cordoba. How do we get to Cordoba?
Well, Cordoba has an airport that they try to open it up to the international flights, et cetera, but it's far too small. So it's forget about flying to Cordoba. The best way to get to Cordoba, under my opinion, there are two. If you fly into Madrid, you just connect directly from the airport in Madrid to the train station, high-speed train station in Madrid Central, because there is a train connecting directly both spots, and then get the high-speed train to Cordoba. Or if you just, let's say that you fly over from the United States to and you have to make a stopover in one of the big cities in Europe to connect to Spain, fly into Sevilla. Sevilla's airport doesn't have any connections with transatlantic flights, but loads of connections with many, many European cities. So you can fly in directly into Sevilla. And then in Sevilla, you have to do the same thing. Just go to Sevilla from the airport to the train station. There is a shuttle bus connecting both spots. And then this 45 minutes ride from Sevilla to Cordoba. I forgot to mention that from Madrid to Cordoba is 1 hour and 45 minutes.
Okay, so that's perfect.
Yeah, or you can drive if you want to, because it's a highway. If you, you're touring Spain, there's highways that connects Cordoba with the rest of the country.
Okay, so now we have made it to Cordoba. Where can we sleep?
Okay, where can we sleep? As usual, I have a couple of options. One of them is the modest one, and the other is the fancy one. The modest one is a hotel called Cordoba Center. It's in a pedestrian street, but if you are driving, the good thing about this hotel is that if you are lodged in the hotel, they allowed you to get to the hotel by car because there is a parking. Nothing to do with the hotel, but you have a little discount if you say to the parking that you are going to sleep at the hotel. So the car will be there. While in Cordoba, it doesn't matter how many days, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, forget about using the car. I mean, using a car in Cordoba is totally useless because most of the city center is made for pedestrians. But you have that convenience thing that you can get to the hotel by car. If you don't, the taxis are allowed to leave you at the door of the hotel. The people that works in there, they are incredible. They are magnificent. They will help you in everything they can. Breakfast is really, really good there for a 3-star hotel, and the prices are excellent. Of course, it depends on the time of the year you go. If you go on the peak of the season with a lot of tourists, obviously it's going to be a bit more expensive. But if you go in season where it's not so busy, prices are really, really modest.
And the hotel was, sorry?
Yeah, the name of the hotel is Cordoba Center.
Cordoba Center, okay. And the little more upscale one, which one is it?
Round the corner of that hotel, like about 150 yards, is one called Palacio de Colomera, Palace of Colomera. This is a 4-star superior hotel. Obviously, the prices are like double of the one I mentioned before. The facilities in there are incredible. It has a very good restaurant. It's in a square made for pedestrians as well. It has a roof top terrace that you can have a night drink over there. And obviously the weather in Cordoba most of the year is very, very pleasant. And it is so nice to have a drink up there in that place. And also the people working, they are very, very looking very much after you, what you need, whatever you need, anytime you need. They are very, very helpful all the time. So those are my two options to stay in Cordoba.
Well, you have just said one thing that I love about Cordoba. Everybody's super nice. I mean, in Cordoba, everybody's so friendly and so welcoming. And really, the vibe of the city, it's all about welcoming and having fun. I love Cordoba.
Yes, you're right. People there are very, very friendly. Very, very friendly.
Sure. Okay, Jorge. What about food? What do we have to eat in Cordoba? Yes or yes, and where?
Okay, what do we have to eat in Cordoba? Allow me to answer first the second question, where? my two favorite restaurants in Cordoba. One of them is nothing fancy, but extremely clean. The waiting staff there are very nice, and they're always willing to help you with their limited English. I'm pretty sure that they will, in a way, connect with you in what you want to eat. And that place is called Restaurant Los Califas.
Okay, like the Caliphate.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I've known that restaurant for I don't know many years. It's very well located. It's in the heart of the city, and everything, as I said, everything's for pedestrians there. So wherever I tell you to go, it's like 10 minutes from one place to another, no more than that, on foot. So not so far from that restaurant I just mentioned. Remember Los Califas, and the owner's name is Rafael. Which is a very common name in Cordoba, is the patron saint of the city.
Uh-huh, you didn't know that one.
Yeah. You have another restaurant called Almudaina. A-L-M-U-D-A-I-N-A. Almudaina. This is a fancy restaurant. This is in an old palace, and the dining room is in what it used to be the inside courtyard of the palace. So that is totally covered now with the stained glass windows, and treat yourself there. Treat yourself.
I mean, just by the way you explain it, it sounds very fancy.
It is very fancy, but it's not that expensive. I mean, I don't know about you, Francisco. I know when you go with your wife to somewhere on a romantic weekend, sometimes it depends on the time of the year, and especially you that have a family and kids studying.
Yeah.
You might travel on a budget, but you still want to do something. But I'm pretty sure that you want to spend a little bit extra, or you've been saving a little bit extra to treat yourself.
I mean, food, it's such an important part of the culture. That's, by the way, for our listeners, that's why we always recommend some restaurants or tapas places at all these city specials, because we understand that food is a huge thing in our culture. So we want to recommend you the places we like.
Yeah, that's true. And as I was mentioning, you want to treat yourself. So you might be saving a little bit in if you're staying in Cordoba for a couple of days, just take something to eat for lunch, just something to keep yourself going. And then for dinner, go to a nice place. As I said, this is not outrageously expensive. It's prices are reasonable because of the place, the attention you're going to get. And as I said, it's the Almudaina restaurant. It's just outside of the walls. Actually, it's part of the walls of the city, the restaurant itself. And now...
Well, do you mind if I make one recommendation about restaurants? Because there's one place I love in Cordoba.
Yeah, please.
That is El Caballo Rojo, the Red Horse. It is right... I know it sounds strange. So the Red Horse is like, is that a kinky place? Oh, I love it. It's not. It's a super nice, beautiful restaurant. And it's right across the street from the entrance of the mosque. So
that's right.
It's super well located. And the food is very traditional food. And I love that place. I don't know what it has that I love it.
Well, you don't know what it has. It's just by the mosque. So that is point number one of attraction. Second, it's always filled up with people there, not only tourists, but also locals. And it's really difficult to find a place there. So it doesn't matter where you go. Nowadays, you need to make reservations in advance. But yeah, that's a good place as well. Yeah. And anyway, now answering the second question is what to eat. Practically in most of the restaurants in the city of Cordoba, and we're talking about the old city, okay? Not the outside of the old neighborhoods, of the historical neighborhood. There is a couple of things that you must eat in Cordoba. One of them is called salmorejo.
My favorite thing in the world.
Well, many people, when they say salmorejo and they look at it, they say, oh, this is a gazpacho. No, it is not a gazpacho. It's a tomato soup. Gazpacho is liquid. This salmorejo is thick.
It's a puree.
It's like a puree, that's right. And the basic, well, not the basic, the ingredients of this salmorejo food is bread. Has to be like stale bread or old bread, like 3 or 4 days old. Extra virgin olive oil, garlic.
And tomatoes.
Yeah, that's right. You took the words of my mouth and tomatoes, a little bit of salt. Okay, so that is just that, and it makes it so special, and so simple and so easy that every time that you do try it, you say, my God, how can this with so little ingredients be so exquisite and so beautiful? You want to know a little curiosity about the salmorejo, Francisco?
Please, enlighten us.
Going towards the Almudaina restaurant, I told you the fancy restaurant, mm-hmm. if you go from the mosque, not from the outside of the walls, from the mosque, there's only one way to get there. And just one corner or one block behind the restaurant, you have to pass by, you have to keep an eye. Otherwise, you will not notice that it is there. It's a tiny little alley on the left-hand side. That guess what is the name of that alley?
Salmorejo, I guess.
Yeah, the alley of the Salmorejo. And another curiosity into that curiosity, you know what that is? At the entrance of the alley, in tiles, you have like about 10 tiles put together on the wall, giving you the recipe of the Salmorejo.
How cool is that?
it's really cool, isn't it?
Love it. You said there were two things that we have to eat yes or yes. One is Salmorejo. The other one?
Yeah. The second one is called Flamenquin.
Ole. Flamenco is ole, so
that's right. Many people associate that with the dance, with the flamenco, but it's not, it's just the name of it. It's Flamenquin. Q-U-I-N at the end. Flamenquin. That's how we pronounce that. And that is like a mashed steak. It could be either pork or beef. And then once it's mashed and tenderized, you just put inside some cheese slices and some other things that, you know, if you just want to know the recipe of that, but it's also very simple. And then you make a roll out of that. It's like a cannelloni made out with meat. You have to dip that in scrambled eggs and then breadcrumbs and deep fry it. It is absolutely
so good.
Oh, beautiful. So beautiful. So beautiful. And yeah, those are the typical things that you have to eat in Cordoba.
Okay, so now, what about the highlights? What are the must visit sites? I assume the number one you're going to say it's the mosque dash cathedral.
Yeah, so what else can I say about that?
Nothing. I mean, it's such a gorgeous and unique building. It's art, it's history, it's beauty, it's, to me, it's one of those perfect constructions in the world.
True. Yeah. Besides, you will be amazed once you go in. You will see that the 1,300 columns that they were standing there at the time when it was a mosque, they're still there. Plus the 760 arches that there are among all of them. When you get to the center of the complex, you will see how architecture at that time defeated many laws of physics when they built that cathedral inside of the mosque. So, regardless religion here, what you're going to see inside is just art, pure art.
Beauty, it's art, it's perfect.
Correct, yeah. So, what else to do besides visit the mosque? Sorry, Francisco, before jumping into my second place to or thing to do in Cordoba, let me recommend here to our listeners that you better go inside of the mosque with a guide. Okay, you can get the audio guide, but it's kind of cold. That automatic voice in your ear, etc. Get a guide in there. It's going to cost you a little bit extra more, normally there is no problems to get tickets to go inside of the cathedral slash mosque of Cordoba. You can buy, but if you are on a time schedule and you want to book it in advance, you can also make it. But if you're just there, you have to wait, you know, a line to get the tickets and then a line to go on in. But if you get in advance, it will save you some time. But get a guide that will give you the real insights. And yeah, they have a limit to guide you inside of the mosque. The maximum is an hour and a half. But once that you're done with the guide inside of the mosque, you can remain inside of the mosque and go through all the corners of the huge complex, because the guide, obviously in an hour and a half, doesn't have the time to tell you absolutely everything, but you can go to every single corner, admire all the pieces of art in there, and stay there for as long as you like. Now, what is the second thing that you should do? Is a horse show. The typical Andalusian horse shows. They don't run every day in winter. In summer, they do, but you also have to book them in advance. So that is my recommendation.
Jorge, yeah. We have to talk about the food flamenquines, but there has to be some of the best flamenco places in Andalusia, in Cordoba. So is there a flamenco place you could recommend?
Okay, if any of my colleagues from Cordoba listen to this, they're not going to be very happy for what I'm going to say.
How come?
If you go to Cordoba, that means that you're going somewhere else in Andalusia. Try to see flamenco somewhere else in Andalusia, not in Cordoba.
Okay.
It is a little bit touristy, and it is okay if you don't have time to do another flamenco in Andalusia. Okay, it is okay, and you will get a perception. But my honest opinion, in Cordoba, to me, and I'm sorry again, my Cordobese colleagues out there, my apologies. I haven't found a flamenco yet in Cordoba that I liked.
Okay, well, that's a great tip. Thank you very much for being so upfront.
Well, yeah, you know, I just want some enemies today.
Oh, big deal. So, Jorge, I think we have gone over all the major things, history, location, hotels, restaurants. Is there anything you want to add on before we round up this new podcast?
Yeah, there is a couple of things. One of the things that we have been talking about, Cordoba, obviously the name of this podcast is Spanish Loops. Don't forget that there are another Cordoba in Argentina.
Okay, yes. That's a very good clarification. Cordoba, Spain.
Spain. I have some Brazilian friends that just before the pandemic, they Googled Cordoba and they bought flights, etc. And when they got to the airport, guess where they were flying to? And they had no idea.
Argentina.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Cordoba, Spain.
Spain. And the second thing I just want to mention, which I didn't earlier in my minute and a half plus, as you said.
So we're going to have another plus in the history? Oh, God.
Yes, yeah, a very small plus, very small okay. plus. Is that there are two big emperors, Roman emperors, that they were born in Hispania. One of them was Trajan and the other was Adrian. So they took Cordoba as a being, you know, that knot of communication and melting pot of cultures. They took a lot of attention into that city. That's the only thing I just wanted to mention, that just to make a recap in all these things that we have talked today about Cordoba.
So, Jorge, really you have made the city of Cordoba come alive. I mean, it shows that you love the city, the culture, the history, the food, the place. And of course, you could not take it out of your Essence of Andalusia tour.
Okay, actually, the tour is called The Essence of Southern Spain. And it is Andalusia, of course. But, you know, I just wanted to give a different name to that tour. And it's just that. Let me repeat it again. The Essence of Southern Spain. And you're right. Yes, Cordoba is included. In my staycation, because the size of Andalusia, I told you, it's like the state of Maine, we're spending 4 days in Granada and 5 nights in Sevilla. So while we are in both cities, we're doing 1 day in the city, 1 day out. While in Sevilla, one of those days out, because by bus is barely an hour and a half, we get off Sevilla early in the morning and we spend the entire day in Cordoba visiting the mosque, as we have mentioned here, and we're going to go to a restaurant to eat the salmorejo and the flamenquines, and we're going to walk around the Jewish neighborhood in Cordoba, which is just around the mosque of Cordoba. So yes, it is included, and thank you for mentioning that, Francisco.
And everybody can find all the information about this amazing tour in Jorge's website, which is www.travelingwithjorge.wordpress.com.
That's right. Yeah, that's where it is. And well, hi, Francisco, you have any more questions?
I think I'm done and super happy that we have talked about Cordoba.
Great. Thank you so much indeed.
And Jorge, thank you so much for bringing all the light into this city. And we shall see you next week.
Yes, next week we will be here again with another topic. Francisco, nice talking to you today and have fun.
You too. Adios, amigos. We want to thank all our listeners for being there every week, letting us share in our talks. Follow us on Spanish Loops on Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your favorite platform.
And in Instagram, you can find us as The Spanish Loops Podcast, no spaces, all together. If you want to find us the quickest way, just Google Spanish Loops Podcast. You will find us. Hasta la vista, amigos.
See you next week.